Orwellian ministry of truth, after kind of facing this criticism from both left and right, Biden shuttered this board in August. But the documents that we report on show that the efforts to police social media live on under CISA, which is a multi-billion dollar agency that meets monthly with the private sector. They were meeting regularly.
Let me ask you something, because we just have 20 seconds, Lee. Do you see CISA in the United States further emboldening autocratic regimes like Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, to force social media companies to repress their citizens?
Look, every society faces disinformation campaigns, false information on social media. What we're seeing in closed societies, in autocratic societies, this is an effort to suppress freedom of speech, to suppress social media, to suppress the press. And in open societies, we should be countering it with more speech, with better speech. The question is, as we see across the globe, this kind of crisis of disinformation, will the U.S. take a more open society
We're
approach
gonna have to leave
or
it there.
Adopt the strategies of
we'll
more
link to
closed
your piece,
autocratic
Lee
regimes?
Fong, Truth Cops. That does it for our show.
Thank
Check
you
out
for
our
me.
Election night coverage. I'm Amy Goodman.
You are tuned to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is the lovely, the amazing, the brilliant Althea Billings.
Hello and good morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being you, and thank you for listening to The Gap, people at home.
Yes, we're doing it here on this rainy, dreary. It's quite dreary out there, but it's okay. We're here.
Yeah, we made it here to do the radio, and now we just need to do the rest of it.
Yes, I hope everyone is staying warm.
Yep. You know, I got some good critique this morning. Hey, you can use a higher setting on your windshield wipers.
I don't like doing that. I feel like it's like, oh, you're not from here, are you?
I don't like doing it either. I feel weird competition with other drivers. And I like to have one in the back pocket. You know, like if things get worse, I can always ratchet up, you know, my response. But
sure. You don't want to start at the high. You don't want to be a reactionary is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense.
That's sort of my ethos. And I carry that into what windshield wiper setting I use. But yes, this is The Gap on KBOO Portland. We like to do a two-part talk show over here. In the first half today, we have a lovely interview talking about ranked choice voting. This is our final show before the election.
Ooh, that's right.
Get your ballots in, people. I know I have to drop mine off today. So yes, we'll be talking about ranked choice voting for the first half. In the second half, we'll do our community questions. So if you do want to call in and talk to us, stick around to 8:30. We'll be doing that then.
That's right. And we are going to start our first interview with Blair Bobbier, who has been working for decades in Oregon and was one of the chief petitioners of the ranked choice voting measure in Benton County. And we have Blair on the line. Can you hear us?
I can. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being with us. We're really happy to have you and speak about ranked choice voting.
Yeah, it's a great time to talk about it. Obviously, Benton County and Corvallis have it to use this year, and Multnomah County and Portland have versions of ranked choice voting on their ballot as well. So we want to walk through, you know, what's your experience been and what's your perspective on ranked choice voting. So to start out, can you talk to us a little bit about how did you get involved with ranked choice voting and doing this kind of work?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And it's good to be here on KBOO. And I've got to say, I'm an intermittent windshield wiper kind of guy myself.
Okay,
it is.
No reason for those heavy settings right from the get-go. So ranked choice voting is something that's used around the world and increasingly more and more in the United States. And I got into it because I wanted to see our country and our state move towards a multi-party democracy where you could get more voices into government, more political parties, a diversity of candidates. And ranked choice voting was something that presented itself. I actually started looking into electoral and democratic reforms, and proportional representation was the first election method that really called out to me, and it used to be kind of the primary focus of the election reform movement. And then ranked choice voting, which once upon a time was known as instant runoff voting, kind of came to the forefront as more and more local jurisdictions started adopting it. And I think a lot of people interested in pro-democracy reform said, hey, you know, this is something that we can really work with. So I've been working, trying to get this through the legislature in Oregon for quite a number of years. As you pointed out, I kind of took a little sabbatical from Oregon and went down to the Bay Area, where ranked choice voting is actually pretty commonplace. It's been adopted in Oakland and Berkeley, San Leandro and San Francisco, and it's been used there since I think about 2004. So we wanted to see reformers and the folks from the Green Party that I'm a member of, we wanted to see it adopted in Oregon, and we thought a great place to start would be locally, and I live in Benton County. So we reached out to Dan Rayfield, who is the state representative from the Corvallis area, and said, hey, Dan, what do you think about getting ranked choice voting on the ballot locally here in Benton County? And he said, yes, and just took out a legal pad and said, okay, you know, when are we doing this? How do we start? Where do we go? And that's kind of how things happen locally down here in Benton County and in Corvallis.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for that. And can you explain exactly what is ranked choice voting?
Yeah, it's a good place to start, isn't it? So with ranked choice voting, instead of just voting for one candidate, you get to rank candidates in order of preference. You get your first choice. You would rank them as number one. Your backup choice would be number two. And your third choice would be number three. And the way it works is if one candidate gets a majority, 50% plus one, of the first choice votes, they win outright. If no candidate gets the majority, then what you do is you take the candidate with the least first choice votes is defeated in the election, and you look at their ballots, and whoever those folks voted for their second choice, their vote then goes to their second choice. So you could look at, say, the governor's race, and you've got three primary candidates, at least the ones that the media and most pollsters are focusing on, and then also a couple of other candidates from so-called minor parties. And if you wanted to vote for a candidate that wasn't going to win, according to the polls, and, you know, in reality, say you wanted to vote for a Libertarian candidate, or you wanted to vote for Betsy Johnson, you could vote for that candidate as your first choice, and then say, okay, you know, chances are they aren't going to win, I don't want to waste my vote, so I'll pick someone else as my second choice.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that makes sense, and a kind of a way to maybe not have to pick between two extremes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it also, the great thing about it is it avoids vote splitting and what people refer to as spoiler candidates. I mean, if you have a crowded election, like a primary election, and say you've got a whole bunch of environmentalists running because they really want to get their message across, or there's a particular spot of forest land or watershed that wants to be protected. And if there's one person running that has completely opposite views, all the environmentalists could split the vote, and you could have some corporatist win the election because all the environmentalists split their votes. But if the environmental community could rank candidates in order of preference, then their support would coalesce. And the result of the election would be a much truer reflection of what the community wants. And that's really what ranked choice voting can do, is provide the truer reflection of what the electorate wants.
Right. And it's, you know, troubling in many ways about how often our democratic systems don't allow us to reflect the full preferences of what the electorate wants. Blair, can you talk a little bit about how this can work in different situations? I'm thinking specifically in Oregon, the Multnomah County measure differs from the Portland one in terms of how it would work and what type of, you know, representation you end up getting with it.
Sure. So Multnomah County is, which has a charter amendment on the ballot this November, it's 26-232 is the proposal for Multnomah County, and that's just straight ahead single winner ranked choice voting, and it would be used for the county commissioners, for the auditor, and the sheriff. And you just, as I said before, you'd rank the candidates in order of preference, 1, 2, 3, and the candidate who had a majority, whether initially or after kind of the instant runoff rounds, would win the election. Now, one of the really nice things about the Multnomah County proposal is that you'd be able to eliminate a primary, which is it's kind of a two-stage election, right? If no one gets a majority in May, then the top two candidates go on to the November election. And what that does is it really prolongs the election. It makes it more expensive. And really importantly, very few people comparatively vote in the May election. And the turnout, the demographic is really different than people who vote in November. The people who show up in November are much more diverse and much more representative of the community as a whole. So the Multnomah County proposal would be a big improvement, and you'd get just one election, and you'd get better voter turnout and a more reflective electorate. Now, Portland's proposal, which is 26-228, is a really very innovative and sophisticated proposal, and it's really the gold standard for local elections or for any election. So the Portland proposal would divide the city into four districts, and three city council members would be elected from each district. So there'd be a total of 12 members on the city council. And this is called multi-member districts, because you would have three members of the council from each district. And a really nice feature of this is the threshold to win is lowered when you have three people that you're electing from the same district. So it would take 25% plus one to win. And why that's important is if you have communities in a district, or interests, again, you know, maybe you've got environmentalists or people who are interested in bike lanes or people who want to see better crosswalks and pedestrian facilities. If you've got a community of interest, then all they have to do is garner 25% of the vote and they'll get representation. So it's a really cool proposal, because both by dividing the city up into districts and having three members from each district, you ensure that every part of the city will be represented. And as we've seen for years on end, what happens in Portland elections is that some parts of the city continue to get representation and big parts of the city continue to get left out.
Mm. That is true. Thank you so much for that breakdown. And kind of going back to the work that you've done with ranked choice voting, how do you measure the success, and what can it or has it accomplished to the cities and state where you brought it to, or where ranked choice voting already exists?
Yeah, I think one of the best examples of that is San Francisco. So San Francisco did two things to improve their elections in the early 2000s. They switched to ranked choice voting, and they also implemented public funding of elections. And immediately the results were seen. San Francisco's elected the most diverse board of supervisors, which is what they call their city council, once ranked choice voting and public funding of elections came in. Another thing that's really cool is that with ranked choice voting, there's an incentive to be cooperative in campaigns and to shy away from negative campaigning. And the reason for that is that in ranked choice voting, you need support from your supporters, of course, and you want their first choice votes, but you might also need the second choice votes from your opponent's supporters. So as a candidate, you don't want to go out there and say, you know, my opponent is this terrible person who's got a terrible past and they're crazy, and if they're elected, you know, the world's going to fall apart. What you would do is you'd say, hey, you know, I want your first choice vote, but if you can't give me your first choice vote, these are the positions I share with this other candidate, so consider me for your second choice or even your third choice. And in San Francisco, you've seen candidates say this and go out and even campaign together or put out joint campaign literature where they say, hey, rank so-and-so number one. If I'm not going to get your number one, I want to be your number two vote. And, you know, we all get bombarded this time of year with mailers from interest groups, whether it's the League of Conservation Voters or Planned Parenthood or whomever. And right now, a lot of those mailers would say either support our candidate or more likely, you know, hey, don't vote for this other person. But down in San Francisco, you will see these mailers from different interest groups, from unions, from whomever, and they will say, this is our first choice, this is our second choice, this is our third choice. And newspaper editorials will say the same thing. So it's really, again, much more reflective, and let's the eventual elected official know where their votes are coming from. If they know that they need second choice votes from a certain segment of the community or from the supporters of one candidate, that's really good information for them once they get into office.
Interesting. This is so fascinating how it seems like a more holistic way to approach voting. And I can't really understand why we don't do that everywhere. Althea, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the benefits that is sometimes highlighted about ranked choice voting is that it makes voting feel better. Can you speak to that a little bit? The feeling of productiveness, I guess, with using one's vote?
Yeah, so I was really fortunate to be here in Benton County when we brought it in, and it felt great to rank my ballot. It wasn't just a binary black and white choice, so I could vote for who I wanted to, not feel that my vote was being wasted, and, you know, I got to look at my ballot and look at the candidates in the voter's pamphlet and say, hey, that's my first choice, that's who I really want. I tend to vote for candidates who are maybe not part of the establishment, and I'd say, okay, you know, there's my first choice, but I don't think that person's really going to win. Maybe they will, because we're using ranked choice voting. So I can give someone else my second choice that is more likely to win. Mm-hmm. And that feels good. And it's definitely a more nuanced way to vote, and you feel better about giving your input. And I should point out that here in Benton County, we had commissioners running in the last election who did the very same thing that I described about San Francisco. There was our incumbent, a Democrat, who said, I want to be your number one choice. You know what? If you're voting green for the green candidate, I respect that. Make me your number two choice. And the green candidate basically did the same thing.
That's, you know, with all the big word now is division, but this sounds like it would be just a way where we don't have to demonize each other so much so, like, pick me number one, where you can actually have space for, you know, like you said, that little bit of nuance. And I think that with the last governor's the last mayoral race, and I'll keep bringing it up because
in Portland,
in Portland, I found it so fascinating how things played out. And if ranked choice voting was, you know, instituted then, I wonder what the mayor would look like now. You know, mm-hmm. It was just so.
Yeah, a majority of people voted for somebody other than Ted Wheeler, but he won with a plurality.
So going back to what you're talking about and the work that you've done over the years, what are some of the misconceptions that you've heard from people?
Well, I think one of the funniest things, really, is how people say, it's so confusing, it's so complicated, how can you use ranked choice voting? And it's 1, 2, 3.
Literally.
You really just... Yes, right, exactly. You just fill out your first, second, and third choices. And I always tell people that when my kid was in kindergarten, I think it was, or first grade, they used to have a project day at his school, and you got to pick your project. You know, okay, do you want to work in the school garden? Do you want to finger paint? Do you want to play with Legos? And the kids, you know, okay, here's my first choice, here's my second choice, here's my third choice, 1, 2, 3. So it's really simple. I think that's one of the big wraps, is that people think it's so complex and so confusing, and it's just not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably something that for those of us who've only ever voted like winner take all, I think I would think that the, you know, the campaign literature and everything supports that more so. I guess one thing that I would think of as maybe a criticism would be, does it require a lot more information to go to the ballot?
Well, I mean, maybe if you want to be an informed voter.
Some of us do.
You really can't. Yeah, right. And you really can't just say, you know, all right, that's my first choice and I'm done with this. I mean, you can, but that's one of the things about ranked choice voting is you're not forced to rank candidates. It's your option. And the more rankings you put down, the more power your ballot has. It gives you more voice and more choices as a voter. It really changes the whole dynamic. And, you know, the way that we vote is just one step above what we had before, which was a monarchy, a dictatorship. So we're still using the same voting system that we had when surgeons were treating people with leeches. You know, the rest of the world has evolved, and when countries look at voting systems that they want to establish when they've become democracies, or when they've become a democracy and then they've reviewed their operations and their elections, they all go to some form of proportional representation or ranked choice voting or a combination like is proposed for Portland. Just about no one looks at the U.S. system and says, wow, that's a great way to run our elections. I think I'll do that.
Right.
Yeah, there's a point that you mentioned when we talked a bit yesterday about how only former colonies or some former colonies of Europe are the ones that kind of still have this type of voting mechanism.
Yeah, it's a vestige of colonialism. Mm. It's most of the countries that use it are the UK and former British colonies, Canada, the US, India, Jamaica. Most of the countries in Europe and Latin America do use some form of proportional representation. And you can see how governance is better in Europe. You know, we see these scary stories in the newspaper about these right-wing parties or center-right parties taking hold in Europe. And those right-wing parties or center-right parties are pretty much to the left of anything that we've got in this country. So when you look at Europe, which has universal health care in most places and family leave and worker presence on corporate boards and the like, those are all things that come, I believe, from having proportional representation and having more voices and more parties involved in government.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
In doing this kind of work, who are the people that you've seen get interested and support the campaigns for ranked choice voting? Who does it appeal to?
Well, you know, it's a pretty wide group of people. You see anything from voting nerds like myself to different communities that realize that this is a way to provide broader representation. So the groups that have come out and have supported the Portland measure. You've got groups like the Urban League. There's no shortage of groups across the board, Communities of Color Coalition, environmental groups, League of Women Voters, people from different parts of the city, people from the east side, people who are renters, people who are traditionally shut out of government look at this and say, well, this is a way to get our voices heard.
And that it's not, I think you talked about this with us a little bit yesterday, but that it's not just something that benefits liberal candidates. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, thanks. So it's something that is a democratic reform. It favors democracy. And ranked choice voting in particular, because it's majoritarian, is going to give you a result that reflects the majority. So if you're in Eastern Oregon and your community is more conservative, then you're going to elect more conservative candidates, and that's the way it should work because that's the people who are there. If you're in Portland and candidates are more on the progressive side, that's who it should elect. Now, again, when you get into something like proportional representation and the proposal for Portland, it ensures many more seats at the table. So if you've got 3 members from each district that can be elected, maybe some more conservative voices that are shut out in some places will be heard, and more liberal voices that are shut out in other places will be heard. So that's why I keep referring to proportional representation as the gold standard, because the idea really is to get representation as broad as possible and bring as many people to the table as possible.
Right, and I like what you were saying earlier as well about how it gives folks a better and more complex understanding of who supports them. Where do you see opposition to ranked choice voting? Who are the folks that are not in favor of this kind of system?
Typically, the people who benefit from the status quo. Mm. So people who have power, who are in power, feel threatened by anything that might spread power more broadly. And that's where you tend to see resistance. Anybody who's been elected under the current system thinks that, I wonder if I'm going to get reelected under a new system that brings more people into this.
Yeah, I thought that was someone that had asked me, what do the commissioners think of this? And I'm like, what? why would they want to support this? Like, let's start there. That's a good point.
Yeah, definitely.
And I guess as we conclude our interview, one last question is, how would ranked choice voting affect or change campaigns, if at all?
Well, you know, a couple of different ways. We were talking before about how it would make campaigns more positive, more idea-driven, and less focused on personalities. And when you have the ability to combine 2 elections into one and you shorten campaigns, you can bring more people in who might not be interested, might not have the time, and might not be able to take time off from work or do the fundraising or get the financial backing for an election that goes on forever if you first have to run in a runoff or a May primary and then run again months later in November. So ranked choice voting potentially can shorten the campaign season, which I think we would all love to see, and it can bring a lot more voices in and a lot more diversity of candidates, more candidates than we're used to seeing from different communities, and give people more choices.
For sure.
Yeah. If folks are interested in learning more about ranked choice voting, whether or not it's on their ballot for next Tuesday or not, what do you recommend?
Well, so in Oregon, our organization, Oregon Ranked Choice Voting Advocates, has a website, which is Oregon RCV, like ranked choice voting, OregonRCV.org. There's a national group called Fair Vote, which is just run all together, 2 words, but as one, fairvote.org, and that's the leading organization in the country that promotes ranked choice voting and proportional representation. And if people want to read more about the Portland proposal, 26-228, that would be portlandunitedforchange.com.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Tammy.
Oh, no problem. I just wanted to ask before we move on and conclude, what are some, let's say, 3 key takeaways that you'd want listeners to walk away with from this interview?
Well, I think that ranked choice voting is a simple and fantastic improvement. It would bring more democracy to Portland and to Oregon. You'd get more diversity, a more reflective democracy, better campaigns, and no spoiler candidates.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you folks and to be on KBOO. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. That is Blair Bobier of Oregon Ranked Choice Voting Advocates. Thank you so much for being with us. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland. We're going to take a quick musical break, and we'll be right back. ¿Qué hora son, mi corazón?
En San Salvador, El Salvador.
11 de la noche en Managua, Nicaragua.
Me gustan los aviones, me gustas tú. Me gusta viajar, me gustas tú. Me gusta la mañana, me gustas tú. Me gusta el viento, me gustas tú. Me gusta soñar, me gustas tú. Me gusta la mar, me gustas tú. ¿Qué voy a hacer? Je ne sais pas. ¿Qué voy a hacer? Je ne sais plus.
We are back here on The Gap on KBOO Portland. A little Mana Chao with Me Gustas. I love that song.
We were, you know, grooving in here a little
bit. It's a lot of shoulder and it's a lot of upper body movement.
Yeah, we can't stand, but that's okay. This is The Gap, of course, on KBOO Portland. We're coming into our community question time. But before that, two things. One, I wanted to make a note that ranked choice voting is also on the ballot in some places in Washington. So shout out to our Washington listeners. You got ranked choice voting on the ballot in Clark County, in San Juan County, and in the city of Seattle. So wanted to give a shout out to that. And wouldn't you know it, it is the 4th of November. And do we know what that means in November?
I have it queued up.
Hit it.
All right. What does November mean?
No nuance November.
Is that too creepy?
There's a little bit of holdover Halloween vibe.
It is. I was trying to go for holdover Halloween vibe. Okay, yeah. I got it a little louder now.
You didn't
want
to scare me.
It was an alien spaceship is what it is. It sounds like it, right?
No nuance November.
And that was me being very sleepy this morning. I didn't even have to slow it down or anything. That was just my actual voice.
That was you?
I can play it again. You
yeah, play it
again?
One more time.
No nuance November.
Okay, you have some kind of voice modulation.
I just the pitch was down by one.
Wow.
That's all it takes.
All right, sleepy. No nuance November. You give a take with no nuance, and we don't explain it. And each of us are going to do one for all of our shows in November. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
If you don't know how to drive, get off the street.
Okay, I love that. Mine is not everything that you don't like is a conspiracy.
Ah, I know that's right.
All right, that's all you get.
That's all you get for our
no nuance November. Oh yeah, hit it.
No nuance November.
I don't know why I'm so proud of it.
I like it.
That was where my mind was at 7 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah,
or like 6:30.
No nuance is a spaceship. All right, so
we're
moving on to our community question. This is a part where our listeners can call in and talk to us. We wanted to do a fun little ranked choice voting exercise.
Ooh.
Just to test it out. And we want you to rank the seasons. And I want you to, and if you want to justify it, that's great. I know I have a lot of feelings about what seasons are what, but you can give us a call at 503-231-8187. Give us your rankings, and we can come to a conclusion of what is the most agreeable season. 503-231-8187. If you also want to talk about, you know, what you're looking for on the ballot as you're voting for, goodness gracious, 4 days from now, you can also let us know that too.
Yes, that's right. So we, by the end of the show, we'll have our listeners' favorite, or at least a scale of the favorite seasons.
Yeah.
All in the spirit and exercise of ranked choice voting, democracy, and freedom. I'm popping freedom up on there.
Yeah,
I like that. 503-231-8187 is the phone number.
Yeah.
Shall we say what the seasons are?
Yeah, I'd love to learn what the seasons are personally.
So you do have summertime.
Uh-huh. It's an interesting one to start with.
You see where my heart's at, huh?
Yeah.
You have spring.
Mm-hmm.
Which some call no, they don't. And then,
spring, which some call what?
I was going to say autumn, but that's not true.
No, that's the other one.
And then, I guess we can only do three, or should we just do all four?
No, I mean, you can, if there's one that's last,
we're doing
it.
We're doing it.
It happens.
So we're choosing between summer, spring. Oh, we got a phone call, so you can.
All right, sorry. I'll explain the seasons, I suppose. I hope that I know enough to do it. Spring, summer, fall, winter, you've heard of them. Sure, we have a warped sense of which ones they are and what they're like now. But if you want to give us a call and give us your rankings of which are the best, which is the best season, which is the second best season, which is the third best season, do give us a call. We want to know. 503-231-8187.
Summer, spring, fall.
Sorry, what?
Winter. Those are the
So a one for summer, a two for spring, and a three for fall. Is that the power rankings you just got?
No, the phone line dropped. So call again, whoever
call
that
us,
was.
Call us, please.
Oh, I think they are right now.
All right,
actually.
All right. Yeah.
All right, here it is.
I'm really reflecting on my thoughts on the seasons because I'm a big Pacific Northwest summer fan, although it sort of feels like my goodwill towards summer has been exploited, I'll be real, because it was 80 degrees in October, and that's not right. And I'm brave enough to say that it's not right. But, you know, a classic Pacific Northwest summer, it makes you wait for it. For that reason, it's my number one.
And we have a caller on the line. You're on the air with us.
Hello.
Oh, hi. I'm April. Good morning, Tammy and Althea.
Good morning.
My favorite season is fall.
Okay.
So I would rank today as a 10.
Ooh.
I think that we went straight from summer to winter pretty much for the last couple of weeks.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm really loving today. There is power in the storm, and it's not that cold out comparatively.
That's true. We're not freezing yet. So fall's your number one season. What's your number two and number three seasons?
Probably spring would be my number two, and okay, winter would be my number three.
Okay.
I have a lot of autoimmune diseases, mm-hmm, and I do not do well in the heat.
Oh, okay.
So I don't like summer. It's hard for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting harder, too, I tell you what.
Yeah.
Well,
really.
Thank you so much. Any final season's thoughts while you're with us?
I just love the sound of the rain. It's so relaxing, mm-hmm, and I love feeling the power of the storm. I'm really hopeful that Mother Nature will take over and that, you know, people will start reconnecting.
I love that. Well, thank you, April. We appreciate it. Thank you for your rankings.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
And we got another ranking on the phone. They're too shy to speak, so I'll tell you the
okay,
numbers.
Okay, yeah, tell me. I'm keeping track.
Summer's number one.
Uh-huh.
Actually, make that. I'm putting summer for my number one,
okay,
too.
We'll do yours in a second. Okay, tell me them in order.
This is watching democracy in action. Mm-hmm. Summer's number one.
Yep.
Fall's number two.
Uh-huh.
Spring number three.
Okay.
And winter's four.
And then what's your ranking?
My ranking. Summer number one.
Yep.
Spring number two.
Uh-huh.
Fall number three.
Uh-huh.
Winter number four.
Okay, great.
It also depends where in the summer, but I'll take summer.
Okay, I love that.
This is really fun. I'm having a great I'm buzzing right now. 503-231-8187. We are rank choice voting it up in here.
Rank the seasons.
We're opening up. The phone lines are currently open for all listeners. Call in. Give us your ranking of the seasons, the four seasons, and by the end of the show, we will have ranked choice voted this bad boy. I'm actually very excited.
Okay, yeah.
My hat off. I'm sweating.
I know. And let me tell you something, folks, from what I've gathered so far, summer's got a bit of a lead. So if you are a summer hater, get in here and let us know.
we want to hear the proportional proportional. There it is. More people calling.
Yeah, that number again is 503-231-8187. Tell us your favorite season in terms of rankings. And can I tell you something? I like it because it's not this all or nothing conversation. I have an appreciation for spring and fall, but I can't be a fall all the time girl, you know? And some people want me to be that way, and it's a little too wet for me. You don't get to do the fall activities of, you know, jumping in leaves. I always thought that was what fall was all about, and I did it when I was like 12, and I got a slug on my shirt. I'll be real. I didn't like that. But yes, give us a call, 503-231-8187. Rank the seasons for us in our ranked choice voting.
The phones are a-buzzing, and okay. We have Reggae Bob on the line. Can you hear us?
Good morning, Kate Boo family. Good morning.
Hey, what's your rankings? Tell us.
I got a ranking. Well, first of all, from the ranking stuff, back to the thing.
Yeah.
Outside my house on Tuesday, I was doing leaf work, good old leaf work in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And a young man was coming through doing election polling. He was coming through. And I was in a good mood. I listened to him talk. And he talked about ranked choice voting, which is something that I had heard about. I saw the title, never really put it together what it was. Mm-hmm. And I like it. I am in favor of ranked choice voting, first of all.
Big love shout. It.
Shout out to Diego.
Shout out to Diego.
Cool. Good guy.
Nice.
And, you know, and the demographics of it all, of ranked choice of the seasons, to me, if you have a loved one or if you're single, because if you have a loved one, I like the cozy cold weather because then you have to snuggle up more.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going with fall number one.
Okay.
But you can get a lot of work done without sweating. You can get a lot of outdoor work done without sweating.
That's a good
fall
point.
Number one.
Yeah.
Spring number two.
Okay.
Winter number three. And summer last.
All right.
Bob sweats a lot. It gets too hot for Bob.
Thank you, y'all.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, y'all. Take care.
Thank you.
Wow.
Oh, we have more people coming up.
Oh, gosh. Sorry.
Can you hear us, caller? You are on the line.
What's up? It's Nyx.
Hey, Nyx. How are you?
I'm good. Well, I just was calling in to say that I think this whole ranked choice seasons thing is destroying the climate and democracy, and you guys really need to watch out.
Appreciate it, Nyx.
Yeah, I'm calling on behalf of Mingus Maps and Seasons Against Ranked Choice Voting.
Seasons Against Ranked Choice Voting.
Whoa, get the mailer out.
They're going to take that. That's a good one.
I sent out the mailer, and I just think this propaganda has to end, because if you keep doing this, there will stop being seasons.
That's
Think
so true.
About it.
Yeah, we don't want to end up it. Like LA. That's gross.
No, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, do you have rankings you want to share?
Well, you know, okay, I'm from the East Coast, so I usually like fall a lot. But I mean, I'm looking out the window, and I don't know about that.
Mm.
You know, so I think spring. I think there's a feeling of like infinite possibility in the spring. There's flowers and it's before you've been disappointed and realized that summer is just like everything's on fire.
Sure.
And so it's beautiful. You've come out of, there's just, you're like sitting in the sun, like photosynthesizing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what spring's all about to me. So I'm a monarchist.
Oh,
so I'm only voting for spring.
All right, we'll just put you down for one on spring. That's great.
Yeah, because I'm against this.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Well, you know what? You took a principled stand and you participated in democracy. And you know what? Good on you.
Yeah, it's important. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Have a good rest of your day. And if other folks want to call in with your thoughts, we're ranked choice voting on seasons. 503-231-8187. Hey, if you object to the process, that's also fine. Go ahead.
Also, someone just called to mention the Princess Howdy Doody spring. Oh, man, I totally forgot. I'm going to Google it because it's before my time. But there is a princess in Howdy Doody who is like Princess Summer, Winter, Spring.
Okay,
I'll Google it. I'm sorry. But we do have one more caller. Can you hear us?
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, number one is fall. Number two is summer.
Okay.
Number three is spring. And then the winter.
Okay, love it. Thank you.
All right.
There it is.
We appreciate it.
I love this. I love, you see, people get stoked for democracy.
They do.
People say no one goes out to vote. Well, look at this.
Yeah.
Exercising, I'm sweating so hard I'm exercising democracy. So we're democratizing so hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Seasons for Dominguez. Nyx is hilarious.
Can I didn't get a chance to mention this when we had Blair on the line, but I did do an interview with Rene Gonzalez earlier this week, and his criticism of the Portland ballot measure was that we needed to be more humble, and that it was, you know, too much change too fast. But I just like the word humble because it makes me think of Charlotte's Web, because the spider put that in the web for the pig, for some pig.
Charlotte's anyway. Web, you're talking about.
I am, yeah.
Sorry,
you're back. Hey.
Well, you know what Charlotte's Web's really all about. Well, we'll talk about this later.
That's Animal Farm.
That's what they want you to think. Okay. We have another caller on the line. Can you hear us? Can you hear us now?
I believe that's me.
Oh, yeah, hi, we can hear you.
Very cool. So as a person with a summertime birthday,
mm-hmm.
I have to advocate that this ranking of seasons is different for little kids than it is for adults, because when we were little, I have two brothers, and two of them, we have these really awesome summer birthday parties where we get to go to Wild Waves and there's water slides, and then my other brother, he's in the middle of February and nobody wants to come to his cold-ass birthday party.
So
now that we're adults, I think it's more like whether or not you're a person that layers. I like the seasons where I can wear two hoodies and a vest.
Okay.
So I shifted, because I used to love my summer birthday because we had the best birthday parties.
Yeah.
But now, no summer. Summer, you're out of here.
Yeah, I think also, you know, it's tough because seasons, I feel like, and birthdays are influenced by, hey, are my friends going to be in town when my birthday is going to be? And when it's summertime and you're a kid, it's like everybody's off school. We're all around. In the winter, but now, you know, people travel, whatever. But I get what you're saying.
That aspect.
Yeah.
And our summer choices, all of the school friends were gone, so we had to form this ridiculously large family where all of your cousins were going to be there.
Okay, so tell me your rankings.
Love your guys. Oh, okay, so summer would have to be at the bottom for me.
Okay.
But more recently. So I really like the spring, not necessarily the Hungry Gap, because then you starve, but the weather is awesome in springtime as a layerer. And then fall, and then winter, and then summer.
Okay. So spring number one, fall number two, winter number three. Love it.
And I'm with Bob a little bit. Like, summer too sweaty.
I see that.
It's getting sweatier, I will say.
It's true.
Sweatier all the time. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, love the show. Take care.
Thank you.
If other folks want to call, it's a hot race, let me tell you.
We're not even given any spoilers.
No.
And we have another caller on the line. Derek, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
We can hear you too. What is your ranked choice voting for the seasons?
Well, first I want to say I love all this debate and dissent. So good. I'm going to go fall first, spring second. And then I feel like winter and summer have just really changed. Like, I used to know where they stood and what they're standing for, but now things change so much. I just can't really endorse them at all. So I'm going to vote for the two and leave it at that.
All right.
There
just
it is.
The one and the two. You know what?
We can do that.
The campaign has changed. Climate change has entered. They've spent a lot of money on summer and winter, and people aren't liking it. How about that?
It's so true.
Well, thank you so much for exercising democracy with us.
Absolutely.
Well,
have a great rest of your day.
You take care.
Oh, there
it is.
We go.
All right.
If other folks want to call, sorry, I was going to say the number, 503-231-8187. We're ranking the seasons with ranked choice voting.
And we have another caller.
Okay, let's do it.
Joan, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
You are on the air.
Yes, summer, fall, winter, spring was the princess's name.
That's what it was. Oh. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling back.
Yes, I was there. And my favorite season is fall, and I'm going to stand with my right to choose one.
All right. I love
there
that.
It is.
The fall lovers are coming out to support right now. There's a lot of, look, if you're a stan of the other seasons, give us a call. Let's make this as fair as we can. We want the biggest swath of our listeners to respond to this. That number is 503-231-8187.
Thank you so much, Joan. I am having so much fun.
This is fun.
503-231-8187.
Let us know
ranking of the seasons.
Of the seasons.
Woof.
I'm having fun.
I'm having so much
fun. Can I say something?
You may.
People are like, oh, I hate small talk. I hate talking about the weather. I love talking about the weather. I feel like that was a sentiment crafted in a time when the weather was intensely less interesting than it is now.
I do like, someone said that single people and coupled people have different, like that. Yeah. I'm not a psychologist, but I don't know.
That's interesting. Well, and then also the difference that was pointed out between, you know, as an adult versus as a kid, because seasons confer different things based on your lifestyle and your age. Very interesting. We're doing some democracy. 503-231-8187. Call in and give us your rankings of the seasons.
We have Doug on the line. Doug, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Great. So, yeah, this is great. I will advocate for what I call the transition seasons. Mm. I think that my number one would be spring.
Okay.
Because we survived the dark winter of hell. Mm. That's just kind of how I've grown to accommodate that season. It's dark. It's hard. And when I emerge from it, the clouds break, the sun comes through, the angels are literally singing. And that's super great.
Love that.
And I think that fall also, we've kind of, now summer's evolved into this, yeah, like, you know, everything's on fire. Mm. So we got through that. And I think that being the flux junkie that I am, those two seasons, spring and fall, are an opportunity for us to kind of look back and look forward and take stock. Mm-hmm. And they're good. They're good cusp seasons. And so, yeah, so rank one, spring, two, fall, and then I'll take summer because I do like warmth. And and winter, just, you know, winter's winter. What can I say?
That's very true. Winter is so winter.
You thought this through. I appreciate it.
Yeah, very thorough. Yeah. This is an informed voter right here.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Ooh, Althea, how much time do you think you'll need to tally up the numbers?
I got a good count going right now. I don't think it'll take me too long.
What, are you doing it on Excel or something?
No, that would have been really smart.
We do have another caller coming up.
No, I'm sort of doing it by hand. But you know, we're getting some great results, a lot of great feedback from people about what their favorite season is. If you want to call, we do have a few minutes left. Let us know, you know, make your voice heard about which is the best season. Which season do you want to elect to be seasons? 503-231-8187. Give us the rankings, because, you know, just saying one is your favorite isn't enough.
Oh, we got the people and their opinions.
Okay.
Call number one, are you on the air with us? Can you hear us?
Hi, this is Haley.
Hey, Haley, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, perfect. I'm a big fan of fall. I think it's a nice respite after the craziness of summer.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we just fit a lot in the summertime here, and it's nice to not chase the sun all day, every day.
Mm.
So I go fall, summer, spring, winter. I love spring. I think the transition thing is real nice, but it plays with my emotions when it's wet into June, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. You want something solid that you can rely on as a candidate for season.
Right. Right. Like, I love all the bounty and whatnot, but, like, when you got to wait an extra 6 weeks of dogginess, tough stuff.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, the drink choice voting, chef's kiss. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Love it. Thank you, Haley. All right, you have a good one.
Oh, we've got so many more. I'm just trying to fit everyone in as fast as we can. Doug, can you hear us? You're on the air.
This is Craig.
Oh, Craig. I'm so sorry. All right, Craig, get in there. Right. Why not?
Yeah, sure. Sorry, Doug. yeah, I love this exercise. I think this is wonderful. And really, just nice concrete example of how it works. So, yeah, for me, I don't know. I've been listening to the other respondents, and I'm all wishy-washy now, but I'm going to stick to my gun and go with spring for one, summer for two, mm-hmm. Fall for three, and winter for four. It's,
okay.
You're right. The climate change lobby is hard to get my head around when I'm actually in it.
Yeah.
With each season, I regret that choice. I regret those choices when I'm in it. But
yeah.
That's part of the game, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your rankings.
You bet.
Much appreciated.
This is true. Now, everyone was talking. I'm like, right. Actually, don't know if I really love summer all that much. Maybe I just hate how cold it is right now.
Yeah.
But that's fine. And we do have another caller. And I think this is David.
Hi. How's it going?
Well. How are you? You're on the air.
Good, good. So I really, really love autumn. It's the month, the time I was born in, and just all the leaves transitioning. I grew up in the South, and I didn't get this when I grew up. It was hot all year round, so it's a very thoughtful time for me. And then spring is a close second, just all the beautiful flowers and the sun coming out and the extreme amounts of animals and birds. And then winter, I don't dislike it as much as summer because everything looks like a winter wonderland. Everything's frozen in time and nice and have a layer of ice, and I didn't get to experience snow much either. But then summer it's perpetual down south, and I don't like sweating everywhere and getting burned by my seatbelt.
Forgot about
seatbelt.
That
seatbelt. Yeah, their influence in this election can't be understated.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
And that's, I think we have, I don't know, we have 5 minutes.
We got a couple more minutes.
You got to count up the battle of the battles. Wow.
Hey, this is supposed to make campaigning more more amicable.
You see how friendly it was and how nice?
Yeah, yeah.
So we have about five minutes left to the program.
Yeah.
Are you all tallied up, or do you need some music, some tallying up music?
Did you want to play the Jeopardy theme? Is that what this is what this is leading to?
I don't know if we can legally do that. No,
we
kidding.
Can play
we
10
can.
Seconds of it.
We can.
Certainly.
I was just going to play the Me Gusta song. Because in the song, he says he likes all sorts of different things. And you see, we hear we're liking all sorts of different things.
Okay, yes. Yeah, put some music on while I do my calculations.
All right, we'll be back in like 20 seconds or something. Just kidding, that was the wrong one. And we'll be back in about 10 seconds. And we are back here on The Gap with our season rank choice voting results.
Thank you.
Drum roll.
Thank you for participating in our democracy, everybody. Our number one season, who's making it to the council this year, It's Fall, baby.
Woo!
Woo! If you want my campaign analysis, I think, the wildfires and the extreme weather into October really, has kind of pushed people over the edge with appreciating the fall that they know. Number two ranking is going to be spring.
I could see that. That makes sense. Good for spring.
Good for spring. Number three is summer. And number four is winter. And well done, everybody. Thank you.
This was a good race.
Good, clean fun.
We'll have our post analysis.
our post mortem. We'll be interviewing the campaign managers.
Sure. We'll be talking about this for the next 6.5 months.
Yeah.
This was great, and I also want to stress how, if you were just listening and didn't participate, you heard that some people didn't do three, or some people did four, some people did three, some two, some one, and you can do that. And
you
can.
You don't have to, you got a one and one and only? That's great. But hey, if you were a summer number one person, you know, you were outbid by all the number one people in other seasons, so you get transferred to your next favorite, being either spring or fall. So that's how we tally.
Fall is my second, I think.
Fall is your second. Okay.
Yeah, there it is. So I'm satisfied. Also, I'm just happy that we're doing this together.
Yes. And, you know, shout out to everybody who is considering getting ranked choice voting on their ballot on Tuesday. Turn your ballots in, people.
Oh, right. Don't forget Election Day. On the 8th.
We didn't forget.
November 8th.
Thank you for being with us.
For sure.
And, you know, shout out to Corvallis getting to use ranked choice voting in their city elections. That's exciting. This has been The Gap.
Yes, this has been The Gap.
I'm Althea.
My name is Tammy.
You can catch us here every Friday. We'll be back next week. And thank you so much for listening.
Take care of yourselves and each other.
Goodbye.
Tuned in to listener-supported community radio.
This program is made possible by KBOO members and support from the League of Women Voters of Portland, providing nonpartisan election information at lwvpdx.org. The League of Women Voters has online voters' guides, videos,